So guys, I just want to encourage you, as Brett said, if any of it's Lingala.
Hey. What if a church actually took God at his word?
Where every member felt a part of something eternal. And no matter who you were, where you were from, or what you'd done, you knew you had a part to play in something bigger than yourself. Where the Bible wasn't just a suggestion, but was our blueprint for everything we did, even the controversial parts. And those who led did so by being willing to sit on the floor first when there weren't enough chairs for everyone else. Where we didn't follow a clock or genre or a cultural movement, we followed the Holy Spirit even when no one else did. And when we spoke about family, we actually lived it, with relationships that were loving, raw, and messy. Where miracles still happened, prophecies still flowed, signs and wonders followed, and the poor were welcomed with open arms. And above all else, when you walked into our midst, you couldn't help but meet the person of Jesus. We're not there yet, but this is our dream. Welcome to Josh Gen Live.
Josh Gen Live, episode 7. Welcome, everybody. I'm back, and we got Neil Gregg.
Kevin, good to be with you and again with everyone from around the world.
Yes, it's been such a great couple of weeks just bonding with you. There
have been a lot of highlights, haven't there?
Yes.
The last few weeks. I think the big one is just having the kind of messages that have been coming in for family recently with the Van Vuren family and faith and hope. But also just, I don't know if you've heard about all the statistics just recently.
Yes.
But as we've opened up our buildings and opened our doors to meet as Joshua Generation Church every weekend for the last, you know, how many weeks? 8 or 10 weeks. It's been incredible that over 1,000 people have come to visit. And there have been over 50 baptisms, over 80 people giving their hearts to Jesus. I don't know if you heard, close to 150 recommitments, prodigals coming home to the family. So those stats are actually mind-blowing, Kevin, considering that many churches are still closed and aren't meeting in person. So we're really blessed, and we love to see what Jesus is doing at the moment.
And with that, let's have a look at what's happening in Josh Gen in the weeks ahead.
My name is Gordon.
And I'm Mel.
And we're in the process of relocating to Mauritius. God has called us there, and we've already planted a Josh Gen outreach community. And God has already knitted our hearts with some people there in Mauritius. And we have a wonderful community which is growing wonderfully. And we meet regularly on a Wednesday via Zoom. And on every second Saturday, we get together for fellowship, for prayer, and meeting around the Word and just experiencing time with Jesus.
If you'd like to join us, you can get hold of Maria. They meet in Balbason, and they will be welcoming you with open arms.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Dylan, and along with my beautiful wife, Heike, we oversee the Muizenberg Outreach community here in the beautiful False Bay area. We've had some amazing meetings, so if you're in the area or if you know someone who's in the area, please invite them. It's going to be awesome. We're excited to see what God's going to do in this neighborhood, and we'd love to see you there. Cheers.
Hi, my name is Willem Engelbrecht. About 2 months ago, we got the go-ahead to start off an outreach congregation in the lovely town of Rabaul. And we've been so blessed by the Lord the past 2 months, even during lockdown, where we've seen growth not only in numbers, but growth in the people that we journey with as well. And we're really looking forward and excited for what the Lord is going to do. Ek en my vrou Leonie wil sommer met die mense van Grabouw, van die Elgin area, tot so ver soos Verliersdorp nooi, om vir ons op 'n Sondagoggend te kom kuier. Ons sal verskriklik graag vir julle ontmoet en die paadjie saam met julle begin stap.
Hi everyone, really excited to let you know that this Sunday, the 16th of August at 9 a.m, we are kicking off with a Josh Gen Outreach Congregation and an Afrikaans one in Worcester. So if you know anyone in that area that you can invite to join, please do so, but also please do send me a message so that we can make the preparations beforehand.
Questions. We've all got them, but some people can ignore them better than others. For some, the questions gnaw away at your soul, eating you like a little cold frost. That was me. I can't just close my eyes and make them go away. So I traveled halfway across the universe to get you. All I had was a lousy old map and gut instinct. after 32 days. This is where it led me. I didn't know who he was or where he came from, but apparently he knew my name. Now, why did I have the feeling that if I took a seat at his table, my life would never be the same? I suppose there's only one way of finding out.
If you guys want to come and visit, you need to know that it's very easy to find us. Our website has all the venues where we're meeting across the city, and you can find out on the website what time we're meeting, what day and whereabouts that we're meeting. So please come and check us out. And we're going to go now and spend time in worship. So why don't you grab your families, why don't you get some space in your homes and get ready. We're going to go and worship together now.
Your voice sounds like water. Oh, Jesus, you're beautiful. And I know that your eyes are like flames of fire. I know that your hair is white as wool. And I know that your voice sounds like water. Oh, Jesus, you're beautiful. And I know that your eyes are like flames of fire. I know that your hair is white as wool. And I know that your voice sounds like water. Jesus, you're beautiful. Yes, you are. Yes, Jesus, you're beautiful. So beautiful. your head as white as wool, and I know that you voice it sounds like water. Jesus, you're beautiful, and I know that you rise like flames of fire. I know that your head is white as wool, and I know that you voice it sounds like water. Jesus, you're beautiful. Jesus, you're beautiful, and I know that your eyes are like flames of fire. I know that your hair is white as wool, and I know that your voice, it sounds like waters. Jesus, you're beautiful. You are so beautiful, no one compares to you, Lord. No one compares to you, no one compares. You are so beautiful, you are so beautiful. Oh, you are beautiful, 'cause you are beautiful. You're glorious, and Jesus, you have captured my heart. You are beautiful, you're glorious, Jesus, you have captured my heart. You are beautiful, you're glorious, Jesus, you have captured my heart. Like flames of fire, I know that your head is white as wool, and I know that your voice, it sounds like waters. Jesus, you're beautiful, and I know that your eyes are like flames of fire. I know that your head is white as wool, and I know that your voice, it sounds like waters. Jesus, you're beautiful. I know that your eyes are like flames of fire. I know that your head is white as wool, and I know that your voice sounds like waters. Jesus, you're beautiful. Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
Jesus, you're beautiful.
Yes, you are. You are beautiful. You are beautiful. Glorious Jesus, you have captured my heart. You are beautiful, glorious Jesus, you have captured my heart. 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 'Cause Jesus. Jesus, you are beautiful.
You have captured my heart. Yes, you have. Cause you have captured my heart. You've captured my heart. You've captured my heart. You've captured my heart. You have captured my heart. You've captured my heart. You've captured my heart. You've captured my heart. Let's just sing that. Cause you have captured my heart. You've captured my heart. You've captured my heart. You've captured my heart. You've captured my heart, Lord. You've captured my heart. You've captured my heart. You've captured my heart. Cause you have captured my heart. You've captured my heart. You've captured my heart. Captured my heart. Oh, you captured my heart. You captured my heart. Oh, you captured my heart.
Know that your voice, it sounds like water. Jesus, you're beautiful. And I know that your eyes are like flames of fire. I know that your hair is white as wool. I know that your voice, it sounds like waters. Jesus, you're beautiful. You are beautiful. You're beautiful. You're beautiful. You are beautiful. You are beautiful. And I know. And I know that your eyes are like flames of fire. I know that your hair is white as wool. I know that your voice, it sounds like waters. Jesus, you're beautiful. I know that your eyes are like flames of fire. I know that your hair is white as wool. And I know that your voice, it sounds like waters. Jesus, you're beautiful.
So Neil, today we are really touching on a very, very cool topic, which is church. And I'm really keen to hear what our preacher for today, Brett Beverly, is going to be sharing.
Yeah, can't wait. Brett always brings a lot of heart, doesn't he? He loves Jesus, he loves the church, he loves people. And so I'm expecting that our hearts are going to be challenged by the message that he brings.
I can't wait to see what Brett's got on him today. Let's check it out. Brett, so cool to have you. Come on, I'm so excited to hear what you are carrying in your bag as your everyday carry.
I'm excited to be here as well. So do you want to do my person body thing first?
You could. I'm sure you have your phone in your pocket. Yeah. And let's
start with the wedding ring, because I'm married to an amazing lady who I love very much. And she said to me that I'm becoming the man she thought I married, so I'm working on being
a husband. It's been a process.
But my wedding bands are actually, they're soft bands, and I've got different colors and stuff like that, because I'm quite a sport kind of, sport and outdoors. So it doesn't hurt in that, so I got put a red one on so that I'm trying to match, because I'm trying to be trending, because I'm getting old now.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm just trying to think a little bit more like...
Hey, what about your watch?
Love
that's
my
definitely
watch.
An everyday carry.
This, I love this watch because it's got a NATO strap on it, which means you can change out the straps.
Yeah.
So OD green is one of my favorite colors. So I got a green one, a gray and black one. I've got a leather one. I can change it up and that. But what I love about this watch the most is it's super cheap, but it sounds like a diesel motor. Yeah, it's just it's so beautiful. And then I wear a cap a lot because there's a joke that goes, God made some heads perfect, the rest are covered with hair. And so I got to wear a cap. It helps me in the sun.
I'm sure everybody caught that one. Hey, what about your bag? You said that's your favorite color. So what are you carrying inside there?
So this is kind of what I carry every day with me. I have a tactical flashlight.
Mm-hmm.
Very good one. Can I shine you in the face?
Just
show you how bright it is.
Okay.
Okay, you ready?
No. Wow.
Check that. Boom.
Okay.
You can even see spots now.
Yeah.
Like that.
No, actually not. But
you see, so this is quite cool because I was in Pick and Pay once and the outages happened. And you won't believe how dark the shops are.
And I realized then,
oh snap,
dude, we're in serious trouble here. There was stampeding and everything. And I realized from that day, I actually carried a flashlight, even in the daytime.
Wow.
So I've always got that on. It's really useful.
Amazing. And then inside the bag?
Inside. Well, I got a few things. So this is a Leatherman.
Mm-hmm.
I really dig this. It's a multi-tool. It's got a pliers on, all that kind of stuff. I use this quite a lot, actually. Screwdrivers, everything. So I like having that.
Epic.
Something that I carry with, this is called an IFAC.
Wow.
An individual medical kit, basically.
Yeah.
And then you have, you've got everything. I've even got super glue.
I saw that. I was like, that was the first thing that
Instead of stitches, just super glue the things together.
No way, man.
Good. I got chest seals in here. So you can seal guys' chests. Like stab wounds are quite big in South Africa. So if they penetrate the lung, you need to put on a chest seal so they can breathe properly.
Yo.
And
okay.
So I've got all of that. I've got.
You super prepared, eh? Like this is from all the EDCs that I've seen so far. I mean, you seem to be having, like, you have a lot that is. Like for your safety.
What got me into this was I actually drove past an accident once and I saw the guys really battling, bleeding, a lot of stuff. And I realized in that moment, if I stop, I'm probably going to be more harm than good because I don't know what's happening. And so I decided, I've done some medical courses, stop the bleed courses. And so I want to use this as, like, at the end of the day, I'm a shepherd at heart. I mean, even in I'm a pastor,
yeah.
I want to see people safe. And, and so even to the people around me in society, I want to be ready. I want to be a first responder. To be able to help wherever I can. So I got some training done. So everything, I've got duct tape, I've got everything you need to really help people until the ambulances get there.
That is so cool. I'm very fascinated by your first aid kit. I mean, that's the first thing that caught my attention.
Yeah.
And is there anything else you want to show us?
So what else do I have? And then I got some tech stuff in the bag. Here's my buff. I've always got that with
me.
I've got my tablet. Generally, I've got all my preachers and all my stuff on here.
The Bible app.
I actually downloaded the Action Bible. My son reads it every day. It's the comic
really?
Bible, but it's a really good one. I actually got a digital version.
That's
this
really
this
cool.
weekend, so I'm reading through that now. It's really cool. And then just got a book. I like to write down things and ideas, and it's better than doing it on your phone.
Yeah, definitely.
I have a wallet, obviously. I have to bring this out. I have a knife. This wouldn't be an EDC without a knife. And so this is one of my favorites at the moment. What I love about this knife is it was a gift from my dad to me. I turned 40 this year in March.
Yeah,
and so this is a gift from him to me. And so I remember him every day when I put it in. I remember my dad, and because I love him so much, and it is nice just to have him with me every day.
That armband looks very cool. What's that about?
Thanks. I was challenged coming into this year, actually. I'm a wannabe evangelist. So, like, what I mean by that is I love to see people being saved and surrendering their lives to Jesus, but I'm not the best at it.
Okay.
And so I thought I'm going to bring my whole congregation into this thing. So I made a bunch of hundreds of these bands, and on it has the gospel message. So it gives in 5 tabs. It's Jesus created and he loved, and we messed it up in the Garden of Eden. Mm-hmm. Christ came. Do you believe in him? So it's a really good tool to remind you on how to share the gospel with people. And it's so cool that you can actually just give it to everyone who's surrendering it. So this is on my arm day and night. And I'm actually going to rope my whole congregation into it and train them on how to share the gospel with people in 4 easy steps.
Oh, wow. That is so cool. That's very thoughtful of you that you would design that for the entire congregation. I mean, I'm not in your congregation specifically, but I would like to have one of that as well. So please keep me in mind when you're distributing them.
You can have this one.
Oh,
what we'll do
you.
Is I'm going to throw it on there and then we can sanitize it and you can take it once it's sanitized.
Thank you. I would love that.
Awesome, man.
Awesome. Yeah, Brett, that's so amazing to hear and see what you carry on a daily basis. And right now we are moving on to your preach, which I'm so excited to hear because you're preaching on the church as an everyday carry. And yeah, tell us more about what's your heart like going into this preach.
I'm so excited because church has revolutionized the way I live my life. And just, I'm going to share from my heart. It's probably not going to be the best, like, well-structured preacher. It's just my heart going, this is what the church looks like. This is what we're just striving for. And so I'm really excited.
We're going to go right to it. So everybody, let's prepare our hearts to hear what Brett Bevan has to share on the church.
So today I wanted to speak about the church. I gave my life to Jesus when I was very, very young, at age 5. And I remember being in church my whole life. And even from 1985 to now, church has been a massive part of my growing up and me becoming a Christian and eventually becoming a leader in the church. And so I want to look at what the church really is today. And I maybe want to challenge your perspectives or your ideas of what church is. And if you think this is church,
I think you're wrong. I think you've mistaken. This is almost church. Church is something greater than watching a guy on a screen. And so as I speak today, I think it's very easy to define what we are and how we do it. But so often as Christians, we miss the why. And I want to get to why we do what we do, why we believe in the church that we believe in. And so let's jump into it. I'd love to pray with us, just that I'm trusting that the Holy Spirit will speak to us and really just work in us today. And so, Father, Lord, we don't want this to be some guy speaking. Lord, we want your power, your wisdom. I desire your Spirit to come and just open our eyes today, Lord, as we listen to your word, as we explore your church, Father, that you will come and just shift and change and renew, Lord, where that needs to happen. And so we thank you for this time in Jesus' name. So let's look at what the church is. The word used in Greek basically means an assembly, all the called out ones. And so church is an assembly, a coming together of different people that are called out of darkness into light. They were once deaf to the things of the Lord or blind to the things of the Lord, and now they see. And so in a sense, that's what the church is. And there's a Christian leader who quoted the church like this: "Nothing on earth has the greater potential to change lives and to carry out his kingdom," that's Jesus' kingdom, "work in your community than the local church. There is nothing like the local church when it is working right. Its beauty is indescribable. Its power is breathtaking. Its potential is unlimited. No other organization on earth is like the church. Nothing even comes close." And that quote, I believe, is so true. The church is something special. It's something supernatural. And we are a part of it, which is amazing. And so that's kind of what the church is. How do we do church? Well, you might do church differently to the way we do church. Here in Joshua Generation Church, we stand on Acts 2:42-47 as a pillar of, we believe this is the blueprint. This is the unique way that we need to do church from the Bible. This is from the beginning when Peter stood up and he preached this amazing preach about Jesus and the power of the gospel, that 3,000 people were cut to the heart. They came to him going, "What do we do to have what you've just preached on?" And he says, "Repent and be baptized." And the word of God says that 3,000 people assembled, called out ones, came into the temple courts and just took over, in a sense. It's awesome. And so this is how we do church. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe and at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold their property and their possessions to give to everyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and rejoicing the favor of all the people. Listen to this. And the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. And so what is the church? We're an assembly, the called out ones. How do we do it? We devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching, to breaking bread, to fellowship and to saints. We're trying to live in each other's homes daily. We're trying to give our possessions away. That's what we're striving for in Joshua Generation Church. But the why, I think, that underlines everything is so much more important. So ask yourself this question. Why did they devote themselves? Why did they give their possessions away? Why did they hang out daily? What drove them? And I think it's this. They realized that Jesus is building his church. If you want to go read that scripture, it's Matthew 16, verses 18. But not only that, he is the head of the church. I'm so grateful that Jesus is the head and he's building his church. Because if it's up to us, we're going to mess it up every time. Every time, because people can't do the supernatural things that Jesus did. And in this moment, I think they realize the church is something bigger than we are. We can't get this thing done on earth. It's only by God's power and glory. And so the why is this. Ephesians 3 verses 10 to 11 gives us the why. It says this: his intent now is now that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. Verse 11, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Jesus Christ our Lord.
So the why is this, guys. That God's intent, His internal purpose. So what does that mean? From before the foundations of the earth, God had a plan and a purpose for the world, for your life and my life. And His intent was that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God is made known. What is the manifold wisdom of God? Well, if you go look at the Greek, that phrase, and I want you to picture this. Picture a beautiful painting or a tapestry. But just picture it really zoomed in. And as you zoom in, you see brush strokes or nits or whatever you want to call it. You see color. You see different shades of white and yellow and red and blue and whatever it is. And as you look at the macro, you just see this mess of color and it's different. But as you zoom out, you see a beautiful picture taking place. And that is the picture of the church. So as you zoomed in, you have black, white, Indian, Afghanistan. You have the guys in Europe. You have different languages, Zulu, Xhosa, English, Afrikaans. You have fat, thin, tall, bald, I'm bald. You have people with hair coming together. The guys behind the camera are laughing. You have these, all these people come together from every nation and every tribe that shouldn't be coming together, but they have one heart, one mind, unity, purpose, where we shouldn't be friends with each other. We are. Where there is unforgiveness, there's forgiveness. That's the manifold wisdom of God, where we come together, where we shouldn't be together because of Christ, who is the head and who is building His church. And we die to ourselves and what we want. And we shine Jesus. And we live for Him. That's the manifold wisdom of God. And when that happens, the angels and the demons in the heavenly realms are looking down going, oh, wow, the death and the resurrection of Christ is working. And the angels are rejoicing going, look at the guys that are getting saved. Look at the guys that are breaking in and looking like Jesus. Look at the unity that is in the world. And I think the demons are like, they're just freaking out because they're trying to cut the legs out of the church daily and try to steal from us as God's believers. And that's the manifold wisdom of God. That's why I love the church so much, because it's His wisdom coming through you and I to glorify Christ. And I don't know if you grew up in the 80s and 90s, there's a TV program called The A-Team, and Hannibal Smith was like their leader. And he always used to say this at the end of the programs, I love it when a plan comes together. And as I look at the church, the real church, not this, when guys are together, when we're meeting in our homes, when we're sharing our fridges, we have this saying in Josh Jane, what's in your fridge is mine and what's in my fridge is yours. When we're doing that, when church is more than a Sunday or a midweek Wednesday meeting, when it's daily, when it's we open with our lives, and church is messy, guys. Church, you can get really hurt in church. But it's when that happens that the manifold wisdom of God is made known. And there's two ways we can build church. You can put up fences. In other words, you can make it a religious system. You put up all these rules and regulations, the way you dress. You can't wear a cap in church, whatever it is. And you conform people to that pattern. And people will come and they'll do the outward thing well. But I'm telling you now, inside, they're not going to be this manifold wisdom of God. Or you can dig wells. And digging wells, you get dirty, you get messy, you got to dig holes, you have run-ins with people, you get hurt. It's like, but man, when you strike water and the living water comes up, oh, life happens and Christ is glorified. And I want to start ending this preach with a few testimonies and a few illustrations of how God is working. So there's a wonderful lady in our congregation. Her name is Tracy Morgan Reed. And Tracy is an amazing server. She was actually a deacon on our team for a long time. But there was a flaw. There was something broken in her. And it was, first of all, trust of men, but more than that, trust of authority. And I just phoned her just before I sat down to preach, saying, Tracy, I love you, man. Can I use your story? Because it's such a wonderful picture of the manifold wisdom of God. And she said, yes, you can. And so for 20 years, she had mistrust against leaders, even God Himself. She would get hurt at every comment made, and she was really just a broken, broken person, loving Jesus, but broken, trying to push people away and trying to do it her own way, in a sense. And over the last 2 years that I've leading the congregation I am now, I've been seeing God working her and soften her. And me and her, we locked heads a lot. We fought a lot. We disagreed a lot. We were digging those wells quite a lot. And like at some stages, it was a little bit uncomfortable. I'm not going to lie to you. And I was on leave not too long ago, and I get this message out of the blue from Tracy. And she goes, "Brett, I just want to say, God has broken through my life today. That for the last 20 years, I've had all this against leaders and even you, and you've done nothing to me. You're just a leader. And because of all my brokenness and because of my mistrust, I've been holding things against you and putting things on you. And I just want to say, God has broken me free from that. And I want to just say, because of the church, because of the people around us, because you were willing to lock heads with me and dig wells with me, and it got messy, I've felt freedom. And guys, she's changed. She looks different. She speaks different. Her love for Jesus is different. It's just, it just gets me so excited to see someone change like that. But I'm telling you now, if she had tried it on her own, and she did for 20 years, she would never have found the breakthrough that she did because of the family around her. Amazing. Okay, I got to just... See, I want to be a church like that. Not hiding in my home, watching a guy on a screen, pulling into myself, going, I'm going to protect myself. That's not church, guys. So maybe just one more illustration as I land this. So a few years ago, about 2.5 years ago, I met a young lady called Michelle. She came up for ministry. She had visited our congregation the first time that evening. And all the other leaders were busy. God was really moving and doing his thing, you know. And I was able to pray with her with some of the other ladies. And she was just so forthcoming and open. She was like, "Hey, I just gave my life to Jesus. I've been living with this guy for 8 or 10 years at that stage. I've got 2 children with him. I don't know what to do. I know that we shouldn't be sleeping together and living together, but just help me." And we prayed and we looked at some scriptures. And I just said, "Look, you got to go home and you got to find faith in the Lord to do whatever you need to do." And she went home. And if I get the story correct, and I've asked them if I could share the story as well, just in case you're wondering. She went home and she said, "Hey, I can't sleep with you anymore. We need to get married." And for a year, I didn't see her. But I'd heard that this guy wasn't happy. And who's this pastor to tell you these things? And I heard that he's into CrossFit and guns. And I was a little bit nervous, you know. And so for a year, I didn't see them. And I moved to another Josh Jen congregation to lead it here in Edgemead, actually, where we're shooting right now. And my first service back, I was preaching, and there's Michelle sitting 3 rows from the front. And my heart in that moment was like, "Oh, my hat, I'm actually moved into the area of where these guys are living." And I she was powering in the Lord. He had still not come in, and they still weren't married. And so we decided to actively hunt him down, and he knows this now. And so I found out he was going to a CrossFit gym just down the road, and I joined there, and we started making a friendship and talking, and we started finding things in common, and now we are actually really, really good friends 2 years later. And the Lord started working in his life. He eventually gave his life to Jesus. And just after that, it was a Wednesday afternoon, we went for lunch, and he said to me, "Brett, I can't marry Michelle. I want to get out of this relationship, you know." And for the first time in our friendship, we came to a bridge. And I hadn't been harsh to him in the sense, or spoken really directly to him as his leader, as his pastor. And in the moment, I just felt the Lord give me wisdom. And I said to him, "Wesley, what are you doing? You just come to know Jesus. You've just given your life to him. You've just surrendered everything to him. If you drop Michelle now and you pull out of this relationship, I think you're actually going to lose your salvation. I think this is an attack of the enemy to your life, you know." And in that moment, I thought, I might not ever see this guy again. And I love him. He's become a friend now. And that was it. So we went home. Didn't hear from him. So that was the Wednesday. The Friday, they rock up at my house, unannounced, together, at about 6:30. And they come in, and they're like, "Brett." He says to me, "Brett, I want to tell you something. So God has done something in me, and we want to get married on Sunday." Now, this is the Friday. I'm like, whoa, hold on. This is not enough time. Can we push it to next Sunday? So it's a week. And so he said, "Yes." I said, and they left. And I was stoked. Okay, God's doing something. He's given his life. This is the next step, you know. And so Sunday, that was a Friday. Sunday, I stood up in front of our congregation, and we're not a big congregation, we're quite a small one. I said, guys, you know, Wesley and Michelle, they are have decided to get married because they want to do it God's way. As a church, we need to love and support them. So this week, if you know how to do wedding preparations, if you've got a wedding dress that you haven't pulled out your closet for like, I don't know how many years, if you have money, if you have resources, we want to love and support them as a congregation. Please get hold of my PA, Jasmine. She will help sort this thing out. We're going to not have a proper service Sunday coming. We're going to get dressed up, bring food. We're going to just collaborate, and we're going to marry them. And that week, I get to church that Sunday, and the hall is one of the most beautiful weddings I have ever seen, with flowers I didn't even know existed. Like, just the food was just so much. The decor, the love, the here. I walked in and I just started crying. I'm like, the love, that just overwhelming. 250 people rock up for that wedding. And in the week, Wesley goes, Brett, I don't want you to even preach at my wedding. I'm going to preach it. I'm going to tell my friends and what God has done to me and what the church means to me and this, what has been put together. And even subsequently through that wedding, and the church come together and giving of their finances and their food and their time and their resources and everything. Some of his friends and even his family members have come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and have plugged into church and become part of the family. And as we close this, you might be sitting there very comfortable in watching Josh in live week in and week out. And maybe you've been hurt, or maybe you've become disillusioned. Maybe you have mistrust because leaders have hurt you. Man, I've been hurt by leadership. I mean, more than most, I've grown up in church. I remember we were in an independent Reformed church at one stage, and because my dad preached at another church, we were kicked out, brought in front of the church, ridiculed, rebuked, and my friends, we lost everything. And that, and so I would put up my hand first to go, hey, the church has hurt me through the years, but I haven't let that stop me because of the why. I'm here because I love Jesus. I'm here because he's coming back for his bride, the church. He's not coming back for the individual. He's coming back for the manifold wisdom of God. And we want you to be a part of that. And so if you're sitting at home comfortable and not willing to push in and become the church that God wants you to become, because we are the church, if you think about it, I would love to pray with us today that the Holy Spirit will bring you from where you are now and plug you into a real church. Maybe you're in an area in the world where church isn't even, you're going, Brett, that is what you're talking about. I want in my city. I want in my neighborhood. Maybe it will start with you. And so I want to pray right now that the Spirit of God will just come upon us, that he will bring us from where we are now into the fullness of what he desires us as his church to be. And can I put this disclaimer in? And even as Andrew says in that opening clip, every Josh in Love, we are striving for this. We haven't got this all right, but we are aiming. This is our vision. We want to be a church like this. And so let's pray together. And let's just trust God to move powerfully wherever you are in the world. So, Father, I want to thank you for this opportunity, for this time that we can be here together. I want to thank you for your word that is useful to teach and to correct and rebuke and encourage. And right now, Father, I pray that your Spirit will meet us all at our place of need. Whether we're watching in our living rooms or our kitchens or our bedrooms right now, whether we're plugged into a church or not, or right now, may you just give us a new heart, a new desire to be the church that you've called us to be. Lord, you are the head. It's your church. You're building your church. And we are your church. Lord, I pray for those that have been hurt. I pray for those that are disillusioned. I pray for those that are just too comfortable. Lord, right now, plant a seed that your power will come upon them again. Lord, for those who don't have a church in their neighborhood or their area or even their country like this, Lord, that you will use them, that you'll birth something in them this day, that they'll be used to see your manifold wisdom be made known in the heavenly realms because of a decision that they've made right now to be your church. Prophetically, I'm just seeing a couple you're watching right now. And I can just see your faces are like red with anger. And like you're just bubbling up because of just all the hurt that you've experienced over the years. And as I'm speaking, I can just see the enemy just attacking and using that as fuel actually in your lives right now. I'm seeing you live in a desolate place. I just see a lot of sand around you, like quite a rocky place. And this thing is just welling up, and actually you're allowing the evil one to speak deceit and unforgiveness and brokenness into your life. And I just see the Holy Spirit hovering over your home, actually. I see him wanting, and he's knocking on the doors of your heart. He's going, "God, God," he's knocking, he's saying, "Let me in." And I'm seeing his light shine upon you from above. It's like this really cool picture of him hovering, and he's shining above you guys. And I just want to pray for you, if I'm prophetically correct, which I think I am. I think something significant is going to happen in your life right now. So, Lord Jesus Christ, I just pray for them right now. Lord, if there's any change of the demonic over their lives, I pray in the name of Jesus right now that you will just cut those chains, blow those chains away, Lord. Bring your light and your life, your love and your forgiveness and your mercy in them, Father God. Lord, I pray that they'll become a key pillar for you, Jesus, to promote good church in their area right now in Jesus' name. That all the unforgiveness and the bitterness, Lord, will be taken away naturally in this moment, Father. And that freedom will come in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. As you've prayed that prayer, hopefully with me, I just saw all that anger and that redness, just you glowing in the Lord right now. Your home is beaming. It's like this beacon of light just beaming out of you. Thank you, Jesus. And if that is you, please get hold of us. We want to rejoice with you. We want to walk with you. We want to build a relationship with you. And maybe just as I close, maybe you're watching this and you do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You've never surrendered your life to Him. You've never bowed your knee to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You've been doing life your way. You've never got to the place where you've gone, "Jesus, you are the head of the church. You are building your church." You might have a religion, you might be religious, you might even go to church, you might be praying and even reading your Bible, but inside you know there's no real relationship with you. You've just been in that thing of putting fences up and you're just ticking off the boxes. That's not what salvation is. John 17:3 says this, that eternal life is knowing Christ. And so I want to pray for you this morning that you'll know Christ, that you'll surrender your life to Him, that you'll bow your knee, that you'll say to Him, "Jesus, whatever you want in my life, I'm going to give it to you. I want to ask you to forgive me of my sin. I don't want to live my life for me. I don't want to live my life by ticking boxes. I want to live my life in relationship with you so that I can be part of this family, the church." And so could I pray with you? And if you don't have the words, you're welcome to respond after me. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you for your word. I realize today that Jesus, you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I want to bow my knee before you. I want to ask you to forgive me of my sin. I give you my life. I want to be part of the manifold wisdom of God. So here I am. Take me, use me, change me for your glory.
Thank you, Lord. Just where you are right now, just thank Him. Praise Him, maybe. Just enjoy the presence of the Spirit of God as you're born again in this moment. Thank you, Lord. If you've prayed that prayer for the first time today and you've knelt before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, could I ask you just to get hold of the number on the screen right now? There are real people waiting to connect with you. We'd love to draw you into our family, into our church, into the church, actually, so we could continue to walk with you and see you flourish in the Lord. Maybe you're a church leader and you've realized, man, you haven't been leading well, or you haven't been building church God's way, that you've probably been putting up fences and it's about the tick box and it's about the numbers and the resources and the buildings and whatever, but you haven't been digging wells. You haven't been allowing God to be God and Jesus to build this church and let Him be the head, and the church is messy, and maybe you're sitting here realizing, man, I've done this the whole wrong way. We would love to connect with you. There is a number on the screen right now. Please get hold of us. We want to do church together. We want to become the manifold wisdom of God together. And can I reiterate, we're not getting all of this right. No church is perfect, but we're striving to become more like Jesus and to build this church His way every day. And so we would love to walk with you in that. And we want to trust together that as we come together, that the manifold wisdom of God shines brighter every day together.